This happened to me in 2017, when I was about 15 years old. The day was going all right. It was an average Saturday. I was just sitting on the couch in the living room, chatting with my friends online on my tablet. Besides me, only my parents were home because my older sister was hanging out with her friends. It was around 2:30 p.m. when someone knocked on the door. My mother went to check out who it was, and I looked over to the door, curious to see who it was as well. My mom looked through the peephole and she saw two men outside. One of them was wearing a blue shirt and the other wearing a black jacket. They were complete strangers. None of us knew either of the men, and we weren't used to receiving any visitors, canvassers, or anything like that. So since my mom didn't know them, she asked who they were, but neither of them answered that question. Instead, the man with the blue shirt said they needed to use the house. My mother obviously got creeped out by that response, like anyone would, and she asked what he meant by that. But the man just said that they needed to get in the house, but my mother responded that she was not letting them in and that they needed to leave. The man wearing the black suddenly banged on the door and tried to force it open. At that moment, my mom screamed and I jumped off of the couch. I was completely startled and I was panicking, but also frozen in shock. There were so many things going through my head, and that's when my mom turned to me and shouted for me to call the police. The man hadn't stopped banging on our door, and they started trying to kick it in. Thankfully, the hinges on our door managed to hold it in place. My father heard all the noise and came running from his room with his revolver in hand, yelling and asking, "What's going on?" But then the banging stopped, and we heard the men running away. My mother called the police. They arrived in 15 minutes. We explained what happened, but they said they couldn't do much immediately. None of us knew where they ran to or if they had any vehicle, so the cops couldn't do anything immediately, but they said they would see if they could find anything useful in the few security cameras around the area and talk to potential witnesses. The rest of the day passed by and nothing strange happened, so we thought that everything was okay, and it really seemed to be until the next day. In the middle of the night on Sunday, I was in the living room playing some games on my laptop while voice chatting with a friend on Discord. We were on vacation, so we would play games all night. But then I heard some strange noises coming from outside. They sounded like footsteps. I told my friend I had to go check something and got up. Honestly, I both thought and hoped that it would be nothing. But just in case, I brought my baseball bat with me and went to check on the door. As I was walking up to the door, someone unlocked it from the outside and started opening the door as if they simply had the key. I was paralyzed for a moment, and a man who was about my height but definitely larger than me walked into the house. He was dressed completely in black and had a mask over his face. He seemed surprised that I was there and he started reaching into his back pocket. It took less than a second for my heart to start pounding out of pure terror. My first instinct was to hit the man on the head with the baseball bat with all my strength, and I did it. It all happened in a second. I struck him in the temple with the bat and he staggered to the wall. Then with the adrenaline still rushing through my body, I raised the bat over my head and swung it down at him again and hit the top of his head this time. And he fell to the ground and didn't get up anymore. But when I saw that right behind him there were two other men, one of them had just pulled out a gun and pointed at me. I couldn't see the gun clearly as it was sort of dark over there, but it was obvious from his stance that he had a gun pointed at me. I confirmed it after I heard him pulling the slide on the gun, and immediately screamed as loud as I could and tried to get out of the way. But the man fired the gun and the bullet barely missed my head. But the flash from the blast and the loud bang were so close to my face that I got dazed. I fell on my back, and my vision was blurry and my ears were ringing. I was desperately screaming for help and crawling away as fast as I could. I could hear one of the men telling the other to shoot me again already. I thought I was going to die, but I managed to bring myself to my feet and run around the corner and out of their view. Everyone in the house had woken up to the gunshot and my screaming. And my father rushed in with his gun. As soon as he saw the men who broke in, he began shooting at them both. I think a bullet hit one of them because he screamed out before I heard more shots and they ran away. They got into a blue car and tried to speed away from our home. My father shot at them again. It didn't hit them, but the bullets hit their car. As soon as we turned on all the lights, we saw the man that I hit with the metal bat was twitching on the floor, and there was a puddle of blood under the wounds in his head. My mother comforted me and told my sister to call the police. But when she was about to, there were already multiple police cars coming. The friend who was talking to me on Discord heard everything and called the police, and many neighbors did the same due to the gunshots. Because the police arrived so soon, they managed to track down the men who ran away and arrest them both. The man I wounded got taken to the hospital, but I never got any news about what happened to him later. And frankly, I don't want to. Later, I found out that they were already wanted for breaking and entering homes, murdering residents, and then stealing everything of value. And those wretches probably plan to do the same in my house. I hope that justice is served now that these men are behind bars, and it still eats away at me sometimes when I think about it. Had I not been awake and gotten in their way, those men would have done horrible things to my family and me. I'm glad that we are all okay today, and I hope that we will never go through something like that ever again. When I was 18, I was very interested in the human soul, so I was always searching on the internet about it. And then one day, I discovered that there was a meeting discussing the human soul, and I decided to go to that meeting with my friend Sean. But when we arrived at the meeting place, there were only three people, me, Sean, and the meeting leader. I was a little disappointed, but the meeting leader seemed like a very knowledgeable person. He began to explain to us information about the soul. He said,
"Human beings each have a soul, but in fact, they can be divided into two, or the souls of two people can merge into one. In other words, you and I can become one. All souls on earth are ultimately one."
I was listening to his story with curious eyes, but when I looked at Sean, he didn't look very good. Sean whispered to me,
"This person seems a little strange. Let's just go home."
But I was having fun, so I told him to stay a little longer. We chatted with the group leader for a while, and eventually I started thinking about going home. Then the meeting leader told us not to go. Sean and I said we had to go and got up to leave. The meeting leader suddenly raised his hands to the sky and looked at Sean while muttering. His eyes were murderous, and he was holding something that looked like a red jewel in his hand.
"Sean, run!"
I screamed. At that time, the meeting leader hit Sean on the head with a red gem, and Sean lost consciousness. Then he took a glass bottle out of his pocket and held it to Sean's mouth. Then he said,
"God, I will take this soul. I will eat it with gratitude."
Then he lifted the bottle to his mouth, took a breath of air, closed the lid, and put it back in his pocket. I didn't know if Sean was alive or dead, and I was so scared that my whole body was shaking, and I had a hard time keeping my balance. The meeting leader looked at me and said,
"I'll give you a chance. If you say you'll give me your soul, I can take your soul away without having to break your head. Now what do we want to do?"
He took the glass bottle out of his other pocket and opened the lid. I was terrified, but I yelled at him,
"My head is harder than a stone, and it will never break!"
He then said to me,
"Oh my, I tried to be nice, but I ended up having to make a hole again."
He held out a glass bottle and slowly approached me. The sound of my heartbeat was so loud in my ears that it almost sounded like thunder. At that moment, he again raised his hand holding the red gem upward and tried to hit me. So I tackled him with all my strength and knocked him to the floor. We started fighting, rolling around on the floor, and then I snatched the glass bottle from his hand and hit him on the head with it. The bottle shattered and he screamed, clutching his head.
"No! This is your house!"
He cried and picked up the broken bottle with his bare hands. I helped Sean up and we ran away. Fortunately, Sean came to his senses slightly. Then the meeting leader shouted,
"Oh, you're still alive! My sons, where are you going? There is eternal rest in me!"
I ran outside and called the police. The leader was arrested and police found dozens of bottles on display in his basement. The bottles had small pictures of people attached to them. When the police asked what the bottles were, he smiled and said,
"These are the souls I have absorbed so far. They are in my world now, and they will live within me forever."
He listed dozens of people's names. I took Sean to the hospital, and luckily he recovered. If I hadn't escaped LaShawn then, I can't imagine what would have happened to us.
This happened about a month ago, and ever since then, I've been scared to peek out the window at night. It all started when my brother told my cousin and me how he heard loud metal banging, almost as if someone was walking around with huge metal boots outside at around 2 a.m. He said that it was loud, like super loud. And since he sleeps on the couch in the living room, it woke him up, and he went to go see what it was. But once he pulled back the curtain to peek outside, it immediately stopped. Which was weird to him, because he said it sounded like it was right outside on the street. At first, we didn't believe him, and thought he was just lying as he often makes up things to scare us. But about 3 weeks later, I suddenly woke up at 6 a.m. feeling thirsty, And right when I was about to get water, I heard it. It sounded exactly like my brother had described, loud metal banging. And it sounded like it was happening right outside the house on the street. Being curious and thirsty, I went to go get some water and decided to peek out the window to see what the noise was. I peeled back the curtain slowly and only let a little crack open, just big enough that I could see what was outside. And then I saw what was making all the noise. I saw a huge man who was at least 8 feet tall. He was monstrous and looked like a human, but whose bones had been deformed and twisted in ways that no average human could bend them. He was also dragging massive metal chains, and with each step he took, he picked up the chains and threw them on the ground, which was what my brother and I had heard. I was dumbfounded at what I had just seen and turned around to grab my phone and try to record it. But as soon as I turned back around, the noise stopped and the man was gone. I was petrified and decided to run back to my room, and I couldn't go back to sleep after that. When my brother woke up, I told him the whole thing, but he didn't believe me. I asked him if he heard it too, and he said no. Nobody believes me, and I haven't heard the noise since. But I still wonder what or who that thing was, and what it was doing walking around in the street. My name is Haley. This story is not about me, though. It's about my 67-year-old grandma. Her name is Shirley Hunkins. A few years ago, my grandma and her friends were all anxiously waiting to hear any updates about their friend, as the doctor told them that their friend was likely going to pass away that night due to her cancer. My grandma ended up falling asleep before any calls came, and later woke up to someone shaking her bed vigorously. She was surprised to see her friend with cancer right in front of her. My grandma says she looked beautiful and was wearing a pretty long dress. Her hair was long and flowing, and she didn't look sick anymore. Her friend said to my grandma, "I'm okay now. You don't need to worry." My grandma wanted to talk to her more, but she told my grandma that she had to go. She then went to touch my grandma's hand with a warm smile, and as she did, my grandma felt an electric shock. My grandma looked down at her hand, but when she looked back up, her friend had disappeared. A few minutes later, my grandma got a call and got up quickly to answer it. The call was from the doctor, telling her that her friend had sadly passed away. My name is Bailey. I'm 5'2 and have brown hair and brown eyes. This story happened when I was 13. It was a Saturday morning, and I asked my mother if I could have a sleepover with my best friend May. May had black hair with brown eyes and was also around 5'2". She hesitated, thinking about all the clowns that had been loose and roaming around the neighborhood. It took a while, but in the end, she said yes. I called May and let her know that she could come around 7 p.m. Later that evening, May came over, and we jumped on the couch and started watching Wednesday Entertainment. About 20 minutes later, my mom went to the grocery store with my little sister and brother, leaving us home alone. We started getting hungry and decided to order a pizza. Around 30 minutes after we ordered, the doorbell rang. While May went to get the money, I went ahead and opened the door. Behind the door was a tall man, I would guess around 6'1", who was wearing a red t-shirt and black pants. He stared down at me and handed me the pizza. He then asked me,
"Where are your parents?"
Me being stupid, I told him that they weren't home at the moment. He then gave a creepy grin, and thankfully, that's when May came with the money. I think she could tell that I was feeling uncomfortable, so she handed him the money and closed the door. We ate and then moved to my room after finishing the episode and hung out for about an hour before we decided to go to bed. Around 10 o'clock, I went downstairs to get some water. As I was drinking my water, I heard some shuffling coming from my pantry. I was confused as everyone else was sleeping, and I didn't have any pets that could have made that noise. I ran upstairs to get my mom when I saw something that I'll never forget. My mom was lying on the floor, unconscious. At this point, I was starting to panic. I went back to my bedroom and locked the door. I then woke up May and started filing her in on what was going on when we heard a knock on the door. The knocks turned into banging, to the point where whatever it was about to break down the door. We quietly jumped out the window and landed in the bushes. I then dialed 911 and told them someone was in my house. The cops came about 5 minutes later and started searching the house. Shortly after they came in, they came out with a clown. Paramedics also came out with my mom and rushed her to the hospital. Luckily, she wasn't dead, just unconscious. As the police were putting the clown in the car, he turned to look at us and then gave us a very creepy grin. The next morning, an officer came knocking at our door. The officer told us that there had been a clown posing as a pizza delivery man and going to people's houses. The disturbing part about this whole incident was when the police told us they found a pizza box under the bed with a sharp knife hidden in it. He was planning to kill us in our sleep. We were so glad to be safe, and my mom had also returned from the hospital. To this day, I still wonder what would have happened if I didn't go downstairs to get water that night.
This is a story from my great-grandpa that happened in Ireland around the 1930s. Late at night, my great-grandpa was at his favorite bar in Ireland. That night, he stayed longer than usual. He didn't even head home until around 1 a.m. when he was finally sober enough to walk home. He remembered that there was construction happening on the usual path, so the only way home was through the cemetery. He said he was creeped out by how eerily quiet it was and felt that someone or something was watching him. As he was about to leave the cemetery, he heard a man's voice saying,
"Excuse me, do you have a light, sir?"
He responded,
"Yes, I do. Let me light it."
As soon as the lighter lit up, it dropped to the ground. He went to grab it, but he saw what made his whole body quiver. As he bent down to grab the lighter, he saw hooves. Hooves that didn't belong to a horse, but a goat. They were huge, and there were only two, like a human's legs. As he looked up, he was horrified, and the only words that could be used to describe it were, "That thing." Once he realized what he was seeing, he ran so fast that he couldn't even remember what happened afterward. After that night, my great-grandfather never left that bar after midnight. He doesn't know what he saw and talked to, but he knows for sure it wasn't any type of natural animal or human. He thought it might have been a demon, or even the devil itself. He never knew, nor did he want to.
My sister and I loved going on camping trips. We often went on drives far away from home to reach our favorite campsite near Lake Lanier. My sister, who we'll call Emma, drove and frequently looked in the driver's mirror to check on me in the back seat. This time, however, when she looked at me in the back seat, her face looked shocked, terrified. She went pale and quietly told me,
"There's a woman sitting next to you."
Without looking away from the mirror, I looked beside me, but there was no woman.
"What woman?"
I asked. I told her that if she wasn't feeling well, we can pull over. She yelled at me to be quiet.
"The woman, she's got blue skin. Don't you see her?"
she hissed. I felt a cold, wet hand slide onto my shoulder. I didn't dare to look.
"Emma, what's happening?"
I questioned.
"Don't look, Frenya."
With those words, my instincts kicked in. I had to look. I saw a blue woman. It was like she had been swimming in cold water. Her icy blue skin and pale white eyes made me want to hurl. There was a dark liquid oozing from her lips, and she was wearing a one-piece swimsuit. I could see her ribs through the tight fabric of the suit. This woman was dead.
"I told you not to look,"
Emma cried. A few years later, I brought up the incident. It turns out, my sister and her friends went to that same lake a few years back. My sister confessed,
"I witnessed my friend drowning in that lake. I carry feelings of guilt that I could have done something to help her, but I didn't."
She's been with me ever since that day. Now, every time I drive up to that lake, she seeks vengeance.